Yes, that's, obviously, since then, I've listened to a lot of interviews with successful comedians, and whenever they're asked, how did you get your start, they said, definitely go to Brandeis for your undergrad and get a master's in linguistics at BU. I'm not sure if all those factors are, completely necessary, but that is what most people do seem to do, yes.
In seriousness, though, the linguistics degree and the work you did in grad school, how has that helped you with your writing through the years?
Certainly every experience that I or anyone has helps them become more of an experienced human being, and especially in comedy, where you mine your experiences or use your experiences or, observe, look inward, look outward. I suppose what you're asking makes sense in that linguistics is specifically the study of language, and language is specifically the tool or, the thing that comedy, the way that comedy comes out of the brain through the face via language. So I don't know if that sentence there makes it clear that I'm a master of linguistics, but I think that the way that people have asked, does one influence the other? Did I get into linguistics because I like the kind of sort of word-based comedy, among other things that I do, or did my interest in comedy or my ability to do comedy, was that affected by? I think they're sort of twin, the DNA double helix style. I am who I am internally, and so the things that I was attracted to included writing some of the kinds of jokes that I like writing and studying the kind of thing that linguistics classes lend themselves to. So, like with anything, I think, connections are made, patterns are found. If I had studied psychology in my grad school or philosophy or anything else, everything that I did feeds into the comedy that I do.
You came up in such a great comedy scene, a pretty competitive one and a fertile one. How did that experience shape you, and what did you learn from it?
I was very fortunate that, here's the thing. You ask somebody, how was your experience? And almost always they couldn't have the corresponding, alternative experience to compare to, unless, you say there's somebody who identifies as a man now, but identified as a woman previously, did comedy both as a man and a woman, and so now say, what's it like to be a woman in comedy versus what's it like to be a man in comedy? Most people these days, most comedians that I know, have identified as one gender their whole time through comedy. So they can only answer half the question. So I can also only answer half the question. A circuitous route to take the fact that I only have my own experience, of starting doing comedy around 2002 in Boston, which was a great town to do comedy in at a lot of times, a great bunch of friends that I started with that we liked, sort of supporting each other and challenging each other and just being more of a community of collaboration than competition, I would say. Though obviously everybody had desires to, be as funny as they could be and get as much comedy work as they could. And so that experience, had I started somewhere else or some other time, perhaps that experience would have shaped me in a different way. But I do feel very fortunate that I had I'm grateful for the experiences that I've had, because there was a lot of comedy to be done in Boston at the time, and lots of different types, there's a lot of college students, there's also a lot of not college students, there's a lot of tourists in some places, there's international people, international people. I'm sure Boston is a huge melting pot of compartments that are all different all over the place. So that it was nice to be able to be like, am I funny over here? Am I funny over here? No. Okay, great. Yeah, funnier everywhere. Got it.
We're talking to Mike Kaplan on Downtown. He'll be appearing in Portland on August 10th. Your runs on Last Comic Standing and America's Got Talent, what do those appearances and that exposure do for your career?
Last Comic Standing was probably the most it sort of gave me the most additional exposure proportionally to anything else, certainly up to that point, because mostly a comedy career sort of moves forward in gradual increments. You know, by the time you see somebody on The Tonight Show, they've usually been doing it years and years, putting in time that you have, you know, an overnight success. You didn't know about all the nights that they were working up until that point, except in very rare occasions. And so I'd been doing comedy about 8 years before I went on Last Comic Standing, and I'd started making my living as a comedian, and I was performing, like, sort of headlining clubs that nobody knew who I was, because I hadn't really done anything that would make people know who I was. But I would just go perform at clubs that were happy to have me, because I was hopefully good enough that anybody who just shows up to see comedy will enjoy. But after Last Comic Standing, people started coming out specifically because now there was a reason that they knew who I was, because millions of people watched the show. And now, even to this day, I'm grateful that most of the times when I go to a club and perform, there's almost always some people who are like, "We first saw you on Last Comic Standing." So, and America's Got Talent, I wasn't on it as much, but there's certainly some people that saw me for the first time there, and I'm appreciative of that as well. So that is an answer to your question.
That is an answer, absolutely. Now, you do a podcast, Hang Out With Me, you've got a blog, you do a lot on social media. What's your favorite part of that? Is it the opportunity to stretch those comedy muscles in different ways, or the interaction that you get with fans?
I mean, here's the thing about favorites, like my favorite part of it, or why, I don't know if I was twisting your question, but I'm going to twist my answer now to my own question that I've decided you asked.
Thank you.
I didn't do any drugs growing up, and I didn't really like smoking pot when I first did as an adult, so I started doing mushrooms, and I loved mushrooms, and I was like, mushrooms are my favorite drug. And then, more recently, like 10 years after I ever did mushrooms for the first time, I learned about ayahuasca, which is a different kind of, some might say, hallucinogenic, psychedelic kind of entheogenic experience. I had an insight. I was like, oh, like, favorite. That's not even, it's not important to compare one experience or determine that one thing is better than others, especially because they're all different and can be worthwhile in their own ways. And I was like, wow, what great insights, ayahuasca. You're my favorite now. And so similarly, I wouldn't want to choose between saying, like, it's definitely for the fans, or it's definitely to stretch my muscles as a comedian in these different forms. I mean, the thing I love, it's both. It's everything. The thing that I love about doing my podcast mainly is when I'm doing it, is I get to have really fun, meaningful conversations with my friends, or people that I don't know as well, getting to connecting with people, getting to know people, having fun, being funny, learning about people, you know, just really being in the moment and connecting and having a conversation. So that's when it's happening, that I'm in the moment. And then later, once it comes out, sometimes people write back and they write into me and say, like, hey, I listened to this conversation. It was really, it affected me. So it's sort of, I guess in that way, it's the same thing. It's connecting with people, but sort of after the fact on another, like, inception, up or down level. So certainly the idea of also stretching the comedic muscle. So I guess it's connecting to people. I found my answer.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was real fun.